You're an interesting person.
Yeah, I'm a terrible person.
Okay. No, not terrible, just interesting.
A little interesting, but now we have to speak at normal decibels, so we won't be heard by the machines.
Yeah.
So,
I was trying to say, the gimmick for
gimmick?
The beginning of every podcast would be, we could start talking, be in the middle of a conversation.
This feels like we're accomplishing that, sort of.
Kind of. Because the podcast is going right now.
It's going right now. Yeah, so it's kind of accomplished.
All right.
So I think I have to correct something I said last week or 2 weeks ago, which was I thought the Inhumans were getting decent reviews, but clearly no one likes the Inhumans at all.
Told you.
It was always a long shot, clearly, and not like in the X-Men mutant long shot character type of way. It was just like,
you shouldn't have did that. Why did you do that? You shouldn't have did that.
Yeah. I do wonder what happened internally at Marvel, which made them decide, from originally it was going to be, a movie, the Inhumans movie. So it had massive budget, probably A-list stars, all that stuff. So eventually going, let's just do it as a TV show. Like, we can't be bothered.
Did they think that because we let the talking raccoon and the tree work, we were just going to take whatever they gave us?
But see, that's the thing. If they did think that, you would think they would have stuck with the plan to make it a movie, because that's a lot more money behind it. Whereas this is like, we'll throw a couple bucks at it and we'll see if it sticks. This isn't like, again, we're not throwing any A-list stars. There's no big star attached to this. They've already done the Inhumans in S.H.I.E.L.D., and arguably it almost looks like they may have done it better in S.H.I.E.L.D. with random Inhumans than the actual Inhumans everybody knows. I don't know.
Well,
I don't know what the thought process was. I want to know what the internal dialogue was on what the purpose the Inhumans would have. If it was just like, let's try them out because maybe people won't dig them. But at the same time, it's like,
The Inhumans were supposed to come after Phase 3 was completed.
Which means
after the Infinity War and after, all the stuff was, resolved with Thanos. They're going to have for it. I don't know what they gained from... I don't know why they decided to just do that now. I would have preferred it to happen because that would have been a great time to be like, okay, so now Inhumans are real and they're on the planet and here's the Germans. And that could have been Phase 4. Okay, so now we have a superpowered population. Mm-hmm. How do we do that? That could lead into the Superhero Registration Act.
Yeah.
And go into that run. Then that could be a real Civil War. Not that crap that we got before. Great movie, by the way. Great movie. Not saying it was a bad movie. Super great. Great fight scene. Great introduction to Spider-Man. But that could have been the real Civil War, and we would have saw cooler stuff there.
there was an article this week that came out that supposedly Stan Lee said Marvel is working on getting X-Men and Fantastic Four back from Fox.
Please, please, for the love of God.
Stan says a lot of stuff, so I don't know how much in the know he is. I mean, it's possible he may have heard something, obviously being Stan Lee, that everyone else hasn't heard. But I could see Fantastic Four, because, it's Fantastic Four, and it's small, but... X-Men, I feel like Fox is going to hold on with an iron fist till they die because, it's, actually making money. And as long as they make some character with an X-related character or some movie with an X-related character, they keep the license. So Deadpool, X-related. We're good to go. Gambit? Gambit's supposedly still being worked on with Channing Tatum attached.
Seriously, Channing Tatum's still attached?
I think he talked about it a couple weeks ago somewhere. They kind of went back to rework it or something like that. But it sounds like he's still attached to it. If Channing Tatum knows anything about Gambit... He probably knows, this could work out really well if it works out. It could work out poor, but I don't think it won't kill Channing Tatum if he comes out with a bad Gambit movie. He'll still be Channing Tatum. He'll still make movies that he makes, and he'll still make money. But if it works out really good, like a Deadpool, then now Channing Tatum has, all right, I've got movies I'm going to do for the next decade that are going to bring in cash. Gambit was the cool X-Man in the 90s. He was the epitome of the... It was like him and Wolverine. These are the cool X-Men.
Yeah, they were.
They
even made him a horseman. That's how cool he was.
Yeah, yeah.
You're cool when they make you a horseman.
He was death for a little bit. Also, so was Wolverine. Actually, both of them are death. Now that I think of it. Yeah. They both became horsemen of the apocalypse.
Yep.
That definitely just seemed like a easy role to fill. Not necessarily with quality all the time. But either way, so what else happened this week? J.J. Abrams, he was announced he's going to be doing Star Wars again. So... That's interesting.
Is J.J. Abrams' goal to, be the king of all things, geek? Like, I'm I directed, like, he's like, I'm going to take it from Joss Whedon. I'm going to direct all cool things that come from the geek culture.
Maybe.
And you will love me as God.
Well, you know, the thing is, he only did Star Trek because he wanted to do Star Wars. I think he said it somewhere. Like, he wanted to do Star Wars and he never thought he would do it. So he accepted the ability to do Star Trek.
Oh, wow.
And then, like, Disney got it and was like, hey, do you want to do Star Wars? And he was like, fuck this Star Trek shit. Yes! And that's why he did not do Star Trek 3. Or, yeah, he did 2, I think. I think he did 2, Into Darkness. But
those are my 2 favorite Star Treks.
Yes, but I'm pretty sure that's why he didn't do 3. Because at that point, it was like, I was offered Star Wars. And that's what I want. I want to do Star Wars.
So once and for all, we see that Wars, you know, is better than Trek?
I guess so. At this point, I can't even fight that as a Trek fan anymore. I don't know what's going to happen with Star Trek right now. That was another thing that happened this week. Star Trek, the producers at CBS have said there will be no review copies of Star Trek sent out before it airs.
Oh, so we're just going to get this garbage, like, right out the gate.
Yeah, typically when that happens, it means it's garbage. They don't want anyone to color the opinion of anyone out there before it releases. They want everyone to tune in fresh, because if it's seen, it could spell disaster.
That's going to... But here's the thing, that's just going to...
Which everyone now knows when it, this happens, the it drop means off, something.
The drop-off from episode 1 to episode, like, 4 is going to be so severe, it's...
Might be a severe... The drop-off from episode 1 to episode 2 is going to be severe, because the episode 1 is going to be free, and episode 2 is going to be available on CBS's streaming service that you have to pay for to get.
CBS All Access.
Yes. So it's already going to be an extreme drop-off, because you're going to give the first episode for free, and then make somebody sign up for it. And if it doesn't blow them away in the first episode, you ain't getting any sign-ups. Like, I don't plan to buy it. I will see it somehow, but I don't plan to get it, because it's just not... I don't know what it's going to be.
Trek, what are you doing?
And I don't... They don't know what they want to make it. CBS has the rights to this, and they don't seem to know what they're doing with it, and they don't seem to know what they want to make it. While on the other hand, everybody seems to hate this, but I actually enjoyed the first episode of The Orville, which is Seth MacFarlane's Star Trek.
Huh?
Came out last week. You missed it.
I missed it. Oh,
came out last Sunday.
I gotta look that up.
So next episode will be, well, tomorrow as we record this, since it's Saturday morning. But yeah, I liked it. It's a little... It's uneven right now. It's a little uneven.
Explain.
Seth, I don't know... I don't think he knows yet in that first episode what he wanted it to be. So it has a lot of Star Trek-y hallmarks. You know, a lot of things you'd expect from a Trek. But it's also... It's got a touch of his sense of humor and personality in it. So it's like, you know, everybody is here on a starship. They work for a giant organization. They're traveling the universe, doing peacekeeping missions and science expeditions and all kinds of things like that. But at the same time, you got, like, the bridge crewman who's like, yeah, I'm one of the pilots of the ship. Cool. I'm totally fine to be under this new captain. I just have one quick question. My last captain let me keep soda up at the console while I worked. Is that cool? And, you know, Seth MacFarlane, his captain, is like, yeah, that's fine. Just, you know, keep it under the instruments. Don't spill anything. It's like, okay, that's good. So it's like, not an uproariously funny line, but it's like, could I imagine Wesley Crusher asking Picard, hey, Captain Picard, is it okay if I have a big gulp up here at the bridge? Because Picard would be like, certainly not, Mr. Crusher. Maybe you should go back to school. Children aren't supposed to be on the bridge anyway. You know, which is what he would do. But
I read a meme where it was like the difference between Kirk and Picard, and Kirk was like, "I love my crew," and Picard's like, "I love my annoying ass crew."
Yes,
that was basically.
I can see that. Picard starts out in Star Trek as someone's cantankerous grandfather.
Yes,
and then as the seasons go on, he becomes a bit more personable and like, "All right, well, these people are family. I will deal with them. I won't be so annoyed. I have to understand." That Wesley is just a boy. And Mr. Data sometimes does not understand human eccentricities.
Not a bad Picard impression.
It's not too bad. I'm actually quite proud of that right now.
Good job.
I hope it sounds better in recording. but yeah, so I enjoyed it for the most part. It is very sci-fi. Yeah, some of the green screen effects could be better, but there's a dearth of Star Trek-y type stuff on TV, and with so many questions about the new Star Trek... It just feels like, okay, I'll take something that's decent at this point. If Star Trek can't be decent, I'll take the Orville if it's decent. That's fine. So, we'll see. You know, hopefully Fox doesn't cancel it like everything else. And hopefully Seth has enough blackmail material on them with Family Guy that he can keep it going for a whole season at least.
I think that's his love child.
And at least that he can, yeah, I mean, the guy likes space. He produced Cosmos with Neil deGrasse Tyson, which was the reboot of the Neil,
are they coming out with a
was
season
it Neil
two?
Sagan? No, it's not Neil Sagan.
It was Carl Sagan.
Carl Sagan. Carl Sagan. Yeah. Carl Sagan.
Yeah. Is that coming back?
I haven't heard anything about it.
It's been a while.
Yeah. I haven't heard. Maybe not. Maybe it was just a one season kind of thing to just do for the heck of it.
Well, the Orville gets a Watch It review from
there you go.
Andrew.
Yeah.
So there you go for that.
You should watch it. Give it a try.
A shout out to my
comment
from last week about Bruce Timm.
Yeah. He is forever.
A friend of mine, shout out to the dashing one, James, told me about Naughty and Nice, some illustrated artworks that Mr. Timm has drawn.
If you like Bruce Timm and you like slightly pornographic things.
Not slightly.
This is for you regardless.
Wow. Googled some of the images. That not safe for work, just giving you a head up. For that,
take your phone to the bathroom. Look,
yeah. I think he just wants to draw. Like, it's becoming more and more obvious that he just wants to draw stuff. Like, draw a certain type of stuff, a certain type of animated stuff.
He likes naked people.
Yeah,
sexy naked people.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
I'm just saying, just do it. I mean, you got enough pull. You could probably do it without causing yourself too much harm.
Yeah, but he probably can't deal with the characters he wants, you know, which are...
Make up some characters.
DC characters. That's not the same.
A redhead is a redhead.
It's not the same.
So you can't use Barbara Gordon. Use someone else.
Yeah, but it's just not the same. It's not the same. But there you go. Naughty and Nice. Bruce Timm pornography for your bookshelf.
Definitely a look. Definitely a look. Okay, so Marvel.
Yes.
Marvel Comics. I've been kicking around this idea for a bit now. Well, not an idea, and not for a bit, so that's both a lie. Is anyone noticing that there's a large change in, like, the use of magic?
Well, I mean, it's gone away and pretty much been destroyed for the moment in Marvel, you know, with Doctor Strange fighting literally other dimensional beings who were intent on destroying all magic. So it's pretty low in the Marvel Universe right now. It's not widespread.
Yeah, it's making me think that there might be the next major crossover event, but the one after that. Something definitely in 2018 is going to be magic themed.
Yeah, makes sense.
A lot of characters are like delving into the magic thing that I thought is kind of strange. Like, for example, if you read the Iron Man and Ironheart Generations comic, you meet again Sorcerer Supreme, Tony Stark.
Yep.
Which I think is adorable.
Mm-hmm.
But he is the Sorcerer Supreme. That's been confirmed before. It's been confirmed in Infamous Iron Man, another great comic you should check out.
Mm-hmm.
And a while back when I forget what the team was called. It was Cyclops' youngin' team of, like...
Champions?
No, it was Jesus.
Not New X-Men.
This is when Cyclops was still...
Oh, no, it was. It was, like, a New X-Men, I think.
Was it?
Yeah, I think it was New X-Men.
When he had a group of people?
Yeah, I know. When he was training the kids who were, like, living out of, like, Weapon H in Canada. When Cyclops was kind of, like, the bad guy on the run. And he had his own school.
Yeah, that guy.
Separate.
Yeah, one of the animals.
And then one of the girls jumped ahead in time.
Tempest or Tempo. She went back in time. And then she went forward
in time.
And then she ended up seeing Tony Stark as...
Sorcerer Supreme.
So this has precedent. So this is not just a gimmick shit. This is something that's been established in a possible, more probable timeline.
I'm just going to say one thing. It brings up an interesting idea, because if we keep pushing this idea of Tony Stark and Sorcerer Supreme, they just had a Sorcerer Supreme series with Doctor Strange, and they had Sorcerer Supremes from time and all over the place in history. He was not one of them.
Yeah.
He wasn't one of them. And they had, like, every one of them. They had, I think... Yeah. They had every one of them. They might even have had an older version of Doctor Strange teaming up with himself, and they still didn't have him.
They had Wiccan.
They had Wiccan, and they had an older version of him, actually, even in the last issue, this last issue that came out this week. They had an even older version of Wiccan show up for a little bit to, like, wrap it up. So, yeah, I don't know. Okay. But, yeah, you probably have something, I imagine. There must be something coming with magic.
Not only that, you got Hank from...
Hank has become...
Learning magic?
And he actually just became Dark Beast. Well, no, he didn't become Dark Beast, but he came like...
A Goblin Beast or some kind of...
Something like that.
Demon
Beast? Because he's working with Madeline Pryor. That's who's been kind of training him in magic. The Goblin Queen.
Yeah.
So now she's there.
Goblin Beast.
And she's trying to team up with other goblin queens from across reality.
Right.
Because they all seem to lose. So...
Jeez.
But yeah, he's, like, doing crazy stuff, too.
And then, like, Age of Ultron. And this is weird, but stay with me, because this is where the... I put points and little threads and stuff. Back when they went back in time... When they went to the future?
Yeah, it was future.
It was... They went to the future after they killed Hank Pym?
Mm-hmm.
What was the major... what was the major, like, threat to the universe?
It was Morgan Le Fay.
Morgan Le Fay with, a magical army.
Yeah.
And, like, they never brought that up again. What was Hank Pym doing that it prevented Morgan Le Fay from...
Was it Hank Pym there, too?
It was Hank Pym that died, so it was, like, obviously he was the difference maker that made that world...
So that could be the case. I don't know. Something.
Weird.
Yeah, you might have some. I think that, I mean, especially with the kind of dearth of magic in the Marvel Universe right now, and them saying, like, magic is kind of rare now and hard to use and not as easily accessible. Yeah, there probably has to be something at some point that's going to pop up and, like, make it a big deal again. Mm-hmm. And you still have a bunch of magic users, so it's got to be something somewhere. I don't know.
I mean, it's something to look forward to. If anyone listening, just, like, keep an eye out for it, because I think this is going to be a thing later.
Mm-hmm.
I want to have I Told You So podcast, like, in 2018, saying, hey, ha, ha, ha.
We knew it.
Who saw that coming, right?
Knew it.
Yeah.
So, there you go.
Eat it.
We'll see. We'll see.
Okay. So, anything else with Marvel? I mean, you were telling me about Deadpool and, like, him being
Deadpool screwed up his life again, pretty much. It's
par for the course.
Yeah, he trusted Hydra Cap. Did a lot of bad things for him. Potentially killed Coulson. Again, I forget the woman's name in the book. But it was the lady he's left his daughter to be raised by. And her husband and her family. Kind of destroys her android body. And now ends up giving her husband a bunch of money and telling him, you should go hide somewhere and just get away and don't tell me where you're going. And take my kid with you, Ellie. And do that. But yeah, Deadpool's pretty much got to burn everything because he makes a bad deal with Strife, and now Strife is holding that over his head because Strife now is threatening to kill his kid and hurt anyone he cares about. So yeah, it's bad. Yeah, the woman's name was Preston. That's who it was, Preston. Of course, in trying to make up for some of this, he ends up killing Hydra Commander because he goes to jail and finds him and kills him because he was working for Hydra Commander when he did some bad stuff too. But yeah, he kills Preston, who's a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent who was raising his kid. And he does something with her body. Because her body was actually an LMD with her mind in it. So he disposes of her body. But gives him a bunch of money, and his kid leaves, and everybody's not happy. And Strife is basically threatening to kill his family by going back in time and, like, you know, being with them at Christmas, pretending to be Cable. So that he can tell them, I can get your family anytime, anywhere, yada, yada, yada. He also destroys the Avengers Theater, which is that theater he bought that he had for his Avengers squad that he was part of, and for his mercs. So he destroys pretty much anything that he has access to because, you know, Strife wants him to kill Cable. So his life really sucks again, and that's just how Deadpool's life goes. But it makes interesting reading.
Does it, though?
It kind of does. Let's see. The Punisher is going to soon get his own War Machine armor.
I am so stoked for that. So stoked for that.
Because he's basically just killing anyone who had anything to do with Hydra now, since he also trusted Evil Cap and made a terrible mistake.
See,
so, you know.
This is what I'm talking about, Marvel. Do stuff that's different. Give somebody who is already broken more brokenness by giving him armor.
Basically. Hydra Cap is still alive, obviously. He's in a super secret jail, and
not for long.
Well, we get some impression that there are some people in that super secret jail that do not disagree with his point of view. So, yeah, he's still on the table for Marvel to use at some point again in the future. But
I'm telling
for now,
you,
he's gone.
In the future, there's going to be some type of thing where, like, Steve is going to look on the back of his shoulder or on his chest, and he's going to find, like, a dragon tattoo that's just going to appear. And then the other, like, you know, Hydra Cap, he's going to have a dragon tattoo. And you're going to find out they're actually part of a prophecy. And we're going to have double dragon.
We need to stop. We need to just not. We need to stop with that idea. Just stop.
I mean, Double Dragon.
No. No. No one remembers that movie. Got the mark, we're just, of the dragon. Just, no one even remembers this cartoon. We're showing.
That cartoon was banging.
You're showing your age, though. No one knows this. No one knows any of this right now.
I'm bringing it back.
No one knows it. No one knows it.
So, DC.
Well, I'm trying to think. Is there anything else from Marvel? There were a few other things, definitely.
There's a bunch of X-Men coming.
That was Gwenpool. Gwenpool finds out she's supposed to be evil and uses her powers of knowing she's in a comic book to become evil and kill all the heroes, but then she decides not to be evil and she fights her evil self in the future and stops that. So, you know, that's a head trip as usual. The Green Goblin's trying to become a goblin again because he can't. And,
you were telling me that was funny with the...
Yeah, so basically the Green Goblin fought Spidey a bunch of months back and got some nanites put in his body, and they won't let the goblin serum take any effects because the nanites neutralize it automatically. And so because it neutralizes it, he can't hear the goblin voice in the back of his head that helps him do all the crazy things he needs to do. So he, you know, goes to doctors to see if he can destroy the nanites. They can't figure it out. He goes to, you know, shrinks to get hypnosis to see if they can help unlock his dormant personality. But his natural personality is too strong-willed to let that happen. He goes to acupuncture, and, you know, that doesn't help either. So, because, you know,
really?
Acupuncture releases the goblins within. You know, it didn't help. But his acupuncturist, apparently, is very well-versed in the Marvel Universe in many locations. So she tells him to go somewhere, and he ends up at a random mountain in the middle of nowhere, being greeted by three monks at the top of it, who will, you know, teach him the ways of their ways.
Why can't I find a mountain with magic monks on it?
Clearly, we have not looked far enough.
I mean, it's like everywhere.
So yeah, they bring him in. They're like, hey, we're going to start your journey. You got to pass the first test. You have to grab this emerald that will tell us what we need to know. So he grabs the emeralds and, you know, because if he passes, he'll be able to be a practitioner of the mystic arts. And so he grabs the emeralds and, you know, there's a light show and everybody's astounded. Wow, we're going to start your training immediately. And he starts training and doing stuff and... You know, they learn things. We can help you feel your scars and make things better. And
so basically they gave him like almost a Doctor Strange origin
story. He basically goes to the Doctor Strange training for the most part. And then, you know, they're telling him, you know, everybody has a totem. One day you'll pick your totem and you'll have your name and this and that. And so, you know, it comes to the point where it's now time for him to pick his totem. Of course, he reaches out for a tiger totem because he has a vision of a tiger approaching him. He's like, I've had a vision. I know. And reaches out for the tiger totem and then he... happens to see a goblin totem on the wall. And he's like, no, I am Norman Osborn, and I will choose my destiny. I don't let destiny be chosen for me. And he gets his goblin totem, and then he uses his magic powers to, you know, call Spider-Man to the location. And it's like, hey, Spider-Man's here. And then he's going to fight him with magic and kill him. And Spider-Man, seeing, oh, you got a magic totem, and it's helping you do stuff? Well, let me grab this spider totem off the wall. I'll use it. But then, of course, Norman uses his magic and stops him. And then kills him because, you know, he's magic. Haha. Well, no, actually, he doesn't kill him. He takes him down. And they're like, well, you've defeated your personal demon. You've done this. Your trial is complete. You can do whatever you need to do. And he's like, you think I'm done because I punched him? Nope. Burns him alive. Turns him into a spider. And then plans to eat him. And he does eat him. And his trainers and his monk mentors realize, you're a terrible person. We should not have trained you.
He's Norman Osborn.
Right? He's Norman Osborn. And they knew his name, Norman Osborn, when he got there. So clearly they must have heard of him.
Oh, Google.
But
they have Google.
Yeah, they have Google on the mountain. They're not savages. Yeah. You know. But so yeah, he basically turns on them. He's like, that's insects was the only thing holding me back. I can do anything now. Ha ha, anything. And then he goes to blast them. And then he wakes up still holding the emeralds. And they're like, that was the first test. Your only test. Your true potential. Peace. They kick him out. And they lock him away, and everything vanishes, and he's just left on that mountain. And while you think he would be sad, no, he's happy, because he realizes the goblin is still in him. He realizes he can still be him again. He just has to find a way to let him out. And so there is a silver lining for Norman, where he knows he can still be a crazy bastard if he can just figure out how to be a crazy bastard again. So, yeah. So Norman's crazy. And eventually,
okay, we already knew that, but,
yeah,
he's getting close to Joker here, like, with
he is, he very much is.
Like, I just need to find the crazy man in me, and I could be crazy once again. I've never seen somebody so hungry to be crazy.
Saying that about him being close to Joker, here's a cool question. you would say, I would guess, that Joker is Batman's greatest villain.
Other than himself?
That's not that far, but just out of people he fights.
Yeah.
I think most people would probably agree with that.
Correct.
I don't think Norman Osborn is Spider-Man's greatest villain. I think he's the obvious choice, but I don't think he's the most dangerous villain he faces.
Like
I think it's the Jackal.
The Jackal.
I think the Jackal is Spider-Man's most dangerous villain.
Explain.
The Jackal knows that Spider-Man is Peter Parker.
Right.
The Jackal has Peter Parker's DNA and has cloned him multiple times, and the DNA of his friends and family, and has cloned them multiple times.
Right.
The Jackal has, within his means, the ability to upend Spider-Man's life at any point in time, and can and will. And he's not motivated by money or trying to prove he's better than Spider-Man or anything. He's just motivated on pure ability to do something, which is, I can clone people really well and do crazy stuff. And he's arguably just as insane as Norman, and probably just as smart when it comes to the whole genetic thing. And you never know if you're fighting the Jackal when you're fighting him, because you could be fighting a clone of himself that he sends out to fight you.
Like a Doombot or LMD.
Yeah, except it's literally a living, breathing thing that you won't know you're fighting another one until it disintegrates in front of you. I don't know. I always found the Jackal to be possibly the most dangerous villain Spidey has.
Well, it's not so much dangerous. Well, no, Jackal's dangerous. He is definitely, from all the points you pointed out, he is definitely a more dangerous villain than Green Goblin. But I think it's because of the history, and I think about is what the connection is between the two of them,
yeah,
and like everything that's gone involving the people who have done the Mask of Goblin.
Mm-hmm.
Not just Green and Hob.
No, the connection is definitely more personal between the Goblin and Spider-Man. Because it's taken friends from him, it's taken family from him.
It was Green Goblin who threw up Gwen Stacy off the thing.
Right? It was Norman.
Yeah.
It was Norman. Yeah, Norman was the one who did it. Hobgoblin was actually just a mercenary guy who found old Goblin gear.
Yeah.
So he wasn't really that big a deal. He was just a guy who could have been any bad guy had he found somebody's gear, potentially.
He just decided to Goblin.
But he found the Goblin gear, and that's the one he stuck with, because he found that. I don't know. That was just my thought on
it. It was
that.
Good. Like, I'm thinking about it.
And actually, in the new Spider-Man cartoon that's coming out from Disney right now...
I've really lost track of so many.
There's a new one, and it's kind of based off the movie universe. So it's kind of based off Spider-Man Homecoming a little bit, because he's in high school, and everybody's in high school. But Jackal is one of the first villains we actually see. And he's actually the uncle to Gwen Stacy in this TV show. He's able to transform himself back and forth from looking normal to looking like the Jackal. But he actually apparently plays Gwen Stacy's uncle in this show. And they actually go to Horizon High, which is like Horizon Labs that Peter works for, but now it's a high school since he's in high school. So Max Modell is the
principal
and runner of this school.
Does he also own Horizon Labs? Or no?
I would imagine so, yeah. I can't remember if they've talked about Horizon Labs, but he's pretty much training like young geniuses and minds and all that stuff. Although, funny enough, this show is going to be lousy with spider characters because students in his school also include Miles Morales, Aranya.
Really?
Yeah.
People remember Aranya.
Well, Marvel remembers their characters, I guess.
Okay, so just shout out to...
I think Cindy Moon might be one, too. Because there's an Asian girl in the scene, but they don't actually call her by name. But I'm like, it has to be Cindy Moon at this point.
Yeah, it's kind of really just Cindy Moon.
Yeah, it's got to be Silk.
Back to Aranya.
Yeah.
That was a cool comic that no one ever talks about, Spider-Girl.
Yeah.
When she was like, I remember getting like little graphic novels from the library, mm-hmm, reading her shit. Like, she had, like, spider armor, and
yeah,
she was
she was their chosen person
for the, like, this thing of the spider. And she was, like, she was part of, a conglomerate organization,
yeah,
that gave her funding and stuff, and she,
mm-hmm,
had, like, teachers. And she was just some random chick that was just, like, walking around, like, oh, you've been...
She fulfilled the prophecy.
She fulfilled the prophecy. And then they left, and, like, and then
they turned her into Spider-Girl, that's
yeah,
what happens.
She turned into Spider-Girl, they took the powers away from her. And then she got bitten on the Spider Island thing,
yeah,
and she had those
and
powers.
And then she ended up with actual spider powers.
And then she had actual spider powers, because she was like one of the few people that retained it, I think?
Yeah, I believe so.
So,
and she was in the whole Spider-Verse series of books for a little while.
Yes.
She was like the leader of that team, or one of the leaders. So,
really good character, didn't get a lot of things. And I remember once she was fighting another character, she was fighting somebody else. She was doing like the whole, she was traveling around and being told where the crimes were via Twitter, via like,
mm-hmm,
kind of like Miss Marvel.
Yep.
But She was fighting some character who was using, like, sound wave technology, like sound stuff. And Peter had just built an entire suit to fight them. And she beat them by, like, putting bubble gum in her ears.
Yeah.
And he was just kind of like, well, damn. And so...
Yeah. I think he's actually done that since then. Because he's got a new character that has, like, sound powers that's popped up in the last 2 years. And I think he's done that, like, once or twice. Where, like, he just picks a big web ball and stick it on the side of his head.
And just fight.
And has to fight. With both. Which is probably then a good callback to, like, watching her do that. He's like, I gotta just block my ears.
Like, he spent, like, a lot of time building the suit that blocks out sound waves. And she was just like, I put bubble gum in my ears. And he was like, what?
Damn children. But, there's a lot of Spider-related characters. And like I said, they're all characters who end up with spider powers. So I have a feeling the show will end up lousy with them. And it's possible that, you know, they might even go the direction of just making her Spider-Gwen instead of killing her off. They could. Because right now, Norman Osborn's still in the show, and he's also kind of, like, there as well. But he is basically running... He basically created his own school, too. Because I think Harry was in Max Modell's school, and then Alistair Smythe is in there, actually, with his kid. Yeah, so...
Wait, what?
Yeah, Alistair Smythe, guy who makes the spider slayer.
Yeah, I know who...
Yeah, so he's in the school, too.
Wait, like, hold on. He has a kid?
Yeah, because he always had a kid. Because it was Alistair Smythe, and there was, like, his son, I think.
I thought Alistair Smythe was the son.
Well, then there was another. Then Alistair Smythe was the son, but the father was also somebody else. And I think they both existed in the comics.
Yeah, I know that. Like, I thought Alistair Smythe was the kid, and, like...
Yeah.
His father was the one who made the spider slayers, and then
yeah, I think they both existed. But, like, I can't remember his name right now. I'm trying to think. I'm looking it up. But, both Smythe, Spencer Smythe. Yeah, Spencer Smythe. Because he was the one hired by Jonah first.
Mm-hmm.
But, so they both exist, and they both work at this school. But I think, I don't know. Like, they don't like Harry. They don't like Norman Osborn. So they basically blackmail Harry for, like, supposedly he tampered with somebody's experiment, and it goes wrong. So he gets kicked out of the school. So then Norman's like, fine, I'm going to start my own school for my son, get kids, and whatever like that. Put them in there. Because screw you guys. Screw you, Modell.
Rich people, am I right?
Basically. So that happens. But, and Norman pretty much shows he's evil pretty fast, though. With, like, you know, he has two kids who are really smart, trying to get into his school. And he basically goes, well, there's only one spot for one of you. So show me why you deserve to be here. And it's like two guys who've always worked together on, like, projects. So it's like, well, now I have to fight my friend. And that's what ends up happening. They end up fighting and, like, using their inventions against each other. And it just becomes a huge mess of a battle, pretty much.
So he makes them pretty much go battle it out via robots or, like, tech?
Well, one of them is, one of them is this guy Clayton and Herman. And, yeah, Herman Schultz. So, yeah, it's the Shocker, and it's, I can't remember what the guy Clayton does. Clayton's a new character in Spider-Man, Clayton Cole. He worked with sound technology. They introduced him a little while ago in some backup stories to say basically he existed when Spidey was young. Oh, he's Clash. His name is Clash.
Who the freak is Clash?
I guess, like, sound, whatever. But they basically introduced him, like, and said, like, he existed when Spidey was young as Spider-Man.
Oh, is
and
that then the
he,
1.1?
Like, retires, and now he's, like, come back again.
Is that the learning curve, dude? Like, 1.1?
Yeah,
When they brought back Spider-Man, and they had that guy with, like, sound weapon?
Yeah, that's probably him. So they had him and the Shocker as two guys who worked together, and they were both trying to get into Norman's school, and they end up fighting each other using their inventions. And Spider-Man has to show up and, like, save everybody and stop them because, you know, they're turning on each other because Norman pretty much forces them to pit themselves against each other.
Did any of them get into the school? Is it Shocker?
I don't remember by the end if they get into the school. I think it might actually be Shocker or somebody. But
is it going to be like a bad kid school versus good kid
school? It's going to probably be like a bad kid school.
And, like, the good kid school mascot's going to be the spider.
Yeah. Okay. Although I'm pretty sure Max Modell, I think Dr. Octopus works for him right now. Although I think he's still, like, a student, too, but, like, slightly older. Yeah, like, they've de-aged
him. Like a TA?
Yeah, sort of like that. Yeah. It's an interesting cartoon so far. It's interesting. And, like I said, they're doing stuff, and they have Anna Corazon and Miles Morales, and Black Cat is there as a thief, too. They got a lot of people.
In the school? Is she an adult?
No, I think she's, like, older. She's a thief, yeah.
She's how old?
I don't know. I gotta go back and watch some of them. But, yeah. And I know, like, they have the Rhino character, Alexi. He's in this, too, so.
As a student?
Yeah, I can't remember. I watched the last two episodes at, like, 4 in the morning. trying to put my kid to sleep, so I can't remember. I missed time of it.
Oh, no, I get that. That's why I don't have a kid.
It's not too bad, then. But, yeah, I mean, that's... I can't think of anything else bigger going on in Spider-Man right now, but it's a good cartoon. It's on Disney. You know, it'll probably get canceled after 3 seasons like everything Disney does, which is what they do.
Spectacular Spider-Man was
great... Oh, yeah, Spider-Man's had a ton of cartoons
canceled. Spectacular Spider-Man was a great show that I loved... Just as much as I love the original Spider-Man that was on Fox, you know what the fuck I'm talking about. I'm not that old. Everyone knows that Spider-Man.
Even though he can't punch anybody. He could punch anybody in that show.
But Spectacular Spider-Man was a great show, and they canceled it.
Yeah, they did.
They canceled it after, like, what, 2 seasons? Just when it was getting interesting?
Probably, yeah. They canceled all of them. I mean,
it's
what they do. It's really the same with the Avengers TV show.
There was another one where he had like a team, like at like White Tiger and like Iron Fist.
Well, that was the last one. That was Ultimate Spider-Man.
Wasn't there?
That went about 4 seasons though. 4 or 5 seasons.
Didn't it have another season? Didn't it have another show after that?
It was like Web Warriors, maybe, but it was like just continuation with a slightly different name. It was the same show though. Trying to think if anything else happened with Marvel this week. Not much, other than, you know, Stanley saying they're working to get their stuff back.
Get Fantastic Four and X-Men.
X-Men back.
X-Men's not going to happen. X-Men's they can probably get Fantastic Four, which is cool, because you can use that for Phase 4. Phase 4. Give me Fantastic Four for Phase 4. Stop what you're doing with the Inhumans. Just say, that was a mistake. We goofed. Our bad. Give us a proper set of Inhumans for next year. Like, they come back from the moon. They're like, hey, look, so you know what's going on. And then, like, we find out, oh, there's superhuman people all part of the world, all over the world, because they're Inhumans. So then we can have almost like a superhuman registration. Like, what, do we register these people? And like, no, we can't. And then we have a proper Civil War. Against
okay,
Civil
so
War
here's the thing. I say you don't do that.
All right, what's your idea?
You get the Fantastic Four.
Yes.
And you get them, and you obviously get Doom. Doom is a big deal.
Yes.
You probably use them in the Fantastic Four movie, and you don't use them too many other places, but you have Doom. But then, of course, you get the Fantastic Four, you now have Silver Surfer, you have Galactus, you have Annihilus, you have the Negative Zone, you have probably Super Skrulls, because they can use Skrulls, but they can't use Super Skrulls right now.
Why can't they use Super Skrulls? X-Men?
No, but Super Skrulls are very much Fantastic Four-y things, like the specific named ones.
Okay.
Whereas the Skrull concept is a little bit, you know, just bigger. It's shape-shifting aliens. So Marvel, I think, is allowed to use Skrulls. They just can't use, like, the Super Skrull or Peibach or, like, Lijah or any of those, like, specific names. Like, These are specific Skrulls.
Okay.
Because I think Captain Marvel is going to be, like, about the Skrulls. They basically have said somewhere in there, like, Captain Marvel, the movie with Alison Brie.
Yeah.
Not Alison Brie. Can't remember her name now.
Don't ask me, because I'm going to say Allison Hayslip, so...
That's not her either, different. But yeah.
And it's supposed to be in, like, in the story. 90s.
It's supposed to be in the 90s, and it's supposed to involve the Skrulls. So
this is... Yeah, you're right. Then this is perfect. You could just bring the Skrulls back in, have maybe, like...
Brie Larson. Yeah, Brie Larson.
There you go.
Brie Larson. But, yeah, so they're supposed to have the Skrulls. But you figure you could use the Fantastic Four to build up to... the big, bad, blow-up movie with a bunch of superheroes, and it's a bunch of superheroes versus Galactus. You have all these superheroes in the world, and now Galactus has come, and they have to all stand down on them. And you can lead up to it with the Silver Surfer making his way to Earth over a couple movies and hitting various places, and then you can still loop back in the Guardians and other things, and, you know, the Skrulls and all this.
Bring the Guardians in so they can talk about... You can bring the lore of the World Eater. And this is definitely... Because Thanos just wants
to
enslave...
And then, of course, you have Doom... And Doom is, you know, villain. But then Doom can be hero, because we need help to beat Galactus, and we're not smart enough. You will need Doom. And
Doom could be this next phase's Loki.
Yeah, he could be. He could be. And I have a feeling the same thing will happen with Loki. Loki's going to have to end up helping save the world a little bit.
Oh, no, he's most definitely.
Yeah, because, you know, he's in deep with Thanos. He can't stay that way. Thanos is going to come for him eventually. So I don't know. Fantastic Four, I can see. X-Men, yeah, it's never gonna happen. It's never gonna happen. X-Men is... You're gonna pry that from Fox's cold dead fingers. It's not gonna happen.
You're gonna make a fucking X-Men X-Factor investigation
television. And the X... Yo, the Gifted is coming out now. It's coming out this
month. I'm not watching that either. That's a pass for me, too.
I might watch it. We'll see. I'll give it a try.
It'll last a season.
Yeah, it might very well last a season. But I'll give it a try.
And this isn't in any other universe, either. That's what annoys me. Like, no one wants to put them together.
The only people doing that right now
are
the WB and Marvel.
Yeah.
That's it. And even the WB had to struggle a little bit because, like, you know, their parent company was like, we'll put Supergirl on CBS. And it's like, why don't we put it on the WB? Meh. CBS. And it's like, it didn't do so hot for CBS. Can we have it now? Fine.
Wow, it's doing really well here.
Yeah, yeah, because they don't need as many numbers. They don't need to have 10 million people watch it, whereas on CW, they only need like 3 million people to watch it. You know, so.
And consistently. As long as you got that consistent 3 mil, people are just like,
all right. And now you can cross over with her. Yeah, she's on Earth 3, but, you know, we've already crossed over to Earth 2 a bunch of times. No big deal. We can make a doohickey, and now you can come over whenever you want. Just come on over. And that's what they did. That's it. So what's next? So we got
DC.
DC.
Perfect segue. Explain to me Mr. Oz, because...
Oh, I can't explain Mr. Oz. Okay. Okay, Mr. Oz popped up after, I don't know, whatever the last big DC event was.
Action, well, the last big DC, like the beginning of the Rebirth, really.
Yes, that's where he popped up, after Rebirth.
Yeah, he was, I was reading the Bat-Family.
So, basically, I imagine everybody has probably figured, like I did up until now, Mr. Oz was Ozymandias from... Watchmen, because we know that supposedly Dr. Manhattan is pulling a lot of strings in the DC universe and has been affecting events and possibly responsible for the whole Rebirth and New 52 and everything. Because Dr. Manhattan is what most would call fucking strong.
God is what I would say.
So Dr. Manhattan is pretty much behind it. So everybody assumed Ozymandias was probably Oz, which I think was a safe bet. No. Mr. Oz is actually supposedly Jor-El.
Spoiler!
With a screwed up face. Yeah, that's what I said. Well, we should know that by now. I'm sorry. But yeah, he's Jor-El, apparently, who has been watching all this time and watching Clark and his family and has now come to the conclusion to realize, I should have never sent you here to Earth because Earth does not deserve you. They are terrible people. Because he has a big test in this book where he basically pushes some of his followers of Oz, to get Earth people to do bad things that they shouldn't do, basically. And in every case of him pushing them, they do the bad thing instead of doing the right thing, which is, you know, to not do the bad thing, like kill a rhino, or, you know, steer this giant ocean liner full of crude oil safely through waters without drinking while captain on the bridge. Or, I don't know, stealing medical supplies from a village that Superman has just delivered medical supplies to, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Or not trying to run Mexicans out of a factory because they dicker Jeeves! Hey, dicker Jeeves! But, yeah, in all those cases, Mr. Oz pushes someone to do something, and they do it, proving his point that humans are terrible, terrible creatures. Mm. Yeah, so he ends up, you know, coming to Clark after Clark is trying to put out a lot of fires around the globe, literally.
And he can't, because...
And he brings him to various places, and then he finally brings him to the Fortress of Solitude, where he reveals he is his father.
With a gnarly scar.
With a gnarly, dead-looking eye scar on his face.
Only has, like, one good eye.
Yeah. So we have no idea how that comes about and how it comes to be, but at the same time, as I was telling you, Sam, you know, Supergirl's father's alive now, too, so why not? He apparently has been turned into Cyborg Superman. It's not Hank Henshaw anymore. And he now has his memories back, and Supergirl now knows he is her father, even though he's done terrible things. She did not want him to die and has had him in some kind of suspended animation tube thingy while he recovers from their last battle.
So he
which now the world has found out that actually Supergirl has been protecting Cyborg Superman because it's her father, which now the world doesn't really like Supergirl because they're like, you protected this bastard. And Cat Grant has turned on her and turned Catco against her. Her company, her media empire.
Don't forget,
he also has Tim Drake.
He took Tim Drake.
That which Batman now knows Tim is alive, but he doesn't know where. But he knows he's alive.
And that's all.
And Tim needs. Actually almost got a message out to Batman because he finally escaped his cell once from Mr. Oz. So now he knows he can do it again, potentially. But he had escaped once and tried to send a message, which may or may not have gotten out. But he was attempting to reach out to the Bat family. Let them know. So, I don't know what they plan to do. I assume Jor-El will be dead by the end of all this Dr. Manhattan stuff and all this. Because it's just... It's like bringing back Uncle Ben. You can't bring back Jor-El to hang around Superman. Because it's just gonna... Yeah, it just doesn't work. You know, it's gonna be like, yeah, my dad's back. And it's like, okay, Superman doesn't have any parents, so I guess you could bring him back. And maybe Jor-El would be cool and be happy to live on Earth and be somebody's grandpa. But I don't see it. Probably not.
I mean, that would have been...
But maybe.
That would have been great if it worked out.
Well, we'll see. We'll see by the next issue. Maybe it'll work out, but maybe it won't work out at all in the next issue. I'm trying to think. Is there anything interesting going on with DC right now? You know, Robin has his own team of Teen Titans, obviously, with Starfire they're running. And everyone hates Damian because Damian's a dick.
He's so, a little shit.
Yeah, weird. They all hate him. They all pretty much hate him. Let's see. Red Hood and the Outlaws. Brainiac has been made smart.
So I'm sorry, like, what? Brainiac was dumb?
Well, Brainiac's always M dumb. Brainiac always M dumb. Brainiac.
You mean Bizarro?
Yeah, Bizarro. I'm saying Brainiac, you're right.
Yeah.
Bizarro has been made smart temporarily.
Okay.
But it's wearing off, so it's basically a very much Flowers for Algernon thing right now.
Aww.
Where he's like
read the
ridiculously,
book.
Ridiculously intelligent, and but he knows it's also wearing off. So he will not be ridiculously intelligent anymore and inventing crazy super gizmos and stuff. Trying to think what else happens. Green Lantern was saving Highfather from Omega Beams, so that was fun. He was basically trying to catch up with Lightwave, the fastest god.
Did you just have like a bunch of mini strokes? I didn't understand anything you just said.
I don't know. I'm just trying to
Mega Father, High Beams,
All Father. You know, the father of Orion from.
Oh, you mean the Genesis. New Genesis?
Yeah, the New Gods from DC.
That's still a thing.
That's always a thing.
Okay.
I haven't read the new DC Metal, actually, yet. I haven't read the second issue. I forgot about that. I have to read that.
With the alternate universe Batman?
Yeah. Yeah, they actually introduced one of them this week, because he was visiting the Riddler. They've turned Gotham into something crazy. He basically gave all of Batman's villains some, like, power boosts. So they've turned Gotham into almost like a giant maze, where each ring around Gotham is, like, someone else's domain. But, yeah, so it's like Joker Batman from this whole series shows up with his Robins on chains. And his Robins only say crow. Like, they don't talk. They just go crow, crow, crow. But somebody noticed online that the reason they say crow is because when he says to them bar, they stop doing what they're doing and listen to him. So if you put it together, they're basically saying crow bar. So all these Robins are probably Jason Todd Robins because they're not all different. They all look exactly the same. And he's basically training them to only say crow and bar, I guess, respond to crow and bar.
Like Marco Polo.
Yeah, crowbar. So,
all right,
that's
I'll
a little twisted.
It.
That's
I'll
a little
read
twisted.
It. I'll read it.
But other than that, yeah, I can't think of anything else DC caught me with this week. I mean, it's going, man. DC's doing their thing. The books are definitely better than they have been. You know, Deathstroke's not evil anymore at the moment. Harley Quinn is doing her thing in Staten Island. Oh, Coney Island.
Shout out to Coney Island.
Yeah, she's a lot of fun. DC's doing its thing. And, you know, Batman is dealing with Clayface on his team. His team with Batwoman.
Yeah.
They're trying to cure him, and he's losing it a little bit because they've been trying to keep him Clayface longer, and he loses his mind the longer he stays Clayface. Because they have a gizmo that'll keep him, like, normal.
Yeah, I remember. Those, like, gauntlet things.
Yeah. And they've been trying to figure out a way for him to last longer without it, but he's pretty much dependent on it now, so he does not like not wearing it because he can't stay normal, and he also then feels his mind starting to slip. The Flash is running around right now with the negative speed force because he beat up Reverse Flash, and Reverse Flash apparently tapped into a negative speed force, which apparently was probably what helped make him crazy. And in beating him, he now has become imbued with it, so he's not running around with the regular speed force. He's running around with the negative one, and it makes him, like, blow shit up while he's running around accidentally, and he loses his temper quite a bit more. And right now he's fighting a guy named Bloodwork, who apparently was a child who was kept away from other children his whole life until he finally went out and played and then got hurt and then discovered he was a hemophiliac. That's why his parents kept him locked away. And then he tried to fix that and ended up experimenting with metahuman DNA since he worked at a coroner's office.
Of course.
Injecting it into himself, and he was able to make himself invulnerable, but now he also has pure control over his blood. So he basically can make a suit of blood around himself and use it, and also make people's blood boil and affect their bloods inside their bodies.
So he's a bloodbender, and he's also...
Yeah, he's the new rogue. He's a new Flash rogue named Bloodwork.
Huh.
Yeah. And he's a bloodbender. That's probably the best way to put it.
Bloodbender mixed with the chick from
Yeah.
Soul Eater.
Yeah. That's probably about it for DC. I can't think of anything else right now since I didn't read Metal, so I can't really talk on it.
Yeah.
So what's next?
What do we got? More. I was going to say Image, but unfortunately I didn't catch Image. This was a bad week for me. I got to read more shit.
Yeah, I didn't read too much from Image this week. I didn't see very much. I don't know. There was talk of the Spawn movie. Apparently the Spawn movie is happening. It's going to be kind of low budget, but
I'll take it.
Going to be darker. I mean, I'm hoping it's good. I'm hoping it's not shit.
The first one wasn't shit.
But if you watch it now, it is kind of shit.
Oh, you know, it's no movie like that. Like watch Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the first one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I don't know. Actually, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, I feel like it kind of holds up. It's like, it's very kitschy and very 80s, but it kind of holds up in some of the parts, at least. Like, you can still look at the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles suits and be like, oh, those are really good suits. Like, they still look at their walking, talking turtles.
That's true.
You know. But there's certain things where it's like, you get too stuck in your era, and like, you know, you can't quite come out of it. Like, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, like, their New York is a filthy fucking New York. Like, it's just like, there's crime everywhere, and like, children run the streets rampant and not going to school, and like, it's terrible.
And there's like an arcade, like, skate park.
I have to say, that was probably the coolest place I'd ever seen as a child. I always wanted to go there. Like, wherever the Foot Clan was, I always wanted to be like, I don't know if I want to be a Foot Clan member, but I want to go to that arcade.
Yeah.
Like, that arcade looks amazing.
I feel as though you could just go there, and like, when they have like a Foot Clan meeting, you could just literally duck out. Because there's like so many kids.
Just go and stay for days.
Yeah.
You know. And have your smokes. Marlboro?
Yeah.
You know, whatever it was. The other one. You know.
Camel or Marlboro?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Kids smoking, drinking, and skateboarding, and playing games.
Doing punk shit.
It's like everything you wanted to do when you first became a teenager. It's great. But, yeah, I don't know. I'm hoping Spawn's better. They did show the first picture of the guy from Stranger Things. Man, this is not a day for me to remember names. But the guy from Stranger Things who plays the sheriff, he's now going to be Hellboy in the next Hellboy movie.
Yeah, he looked great.
But here's the thing I also noticed. Apparently, if you're going to play Hellboy and you get put in the Hellboy makeup, everyone looks the same.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
It's no difference.
Somebody was just like, I thought they weren't going with Homer.
No. Once you play Hellboy, you look like Hellboy. And Hellboy is apparently a very distinctive look that it doesn't matter who's wearing the makeup. You look like Hellboy. And you just look identical to the last guy. So,
we're okay. He's not going to sound the same.
He won't sound the same, probably. So, I mean, that'll be interesting.
But he looked good. Yeah. And it'll be darker. So, like...
Yeah.
See, those are movies you need to make darker.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to make the DC Universe darker. You need, like, Hellboy darker.
Yeah, you don't need to make it darker. No, you don't. Oh, Murderverse. DC Murderverse. I'm sorry. Just
killing all this stuff.
Just kill everybody.
Speaking of verses, why... okay, I don't read them, and you maybe do, so you can explain it to me. The Venomverse... Why the Venomverse, is that a thing?
Because
I thought it would have just burned out by now, but apparently it's a thing and people like it. So
this might be a good last topic. okay, so yeah, the Venomverse. Here's the thing: it couldn't burn out by now because it's only really been going on for like 2 months. It's only really just started, but okay. So basically, here's the idea: there's a Doctor Strange who has a Venom symbiote, who is calling other people from across the multiverse who have Venom symbiotes to a specific dimension to assist them. And there are things in this dimension called poisons, which look like 2-foot-tall, weird-shaped doll things that can affect your mind, making you see and talk to someone who's not there, at which point they then attach to you in your Venom symbiote and take it over and turn you totally... batshit evil. I guess they poison you to everything. And they're apparently very hard to kill and very hard to beat. So he's been bringing Venoms and they've been losing Venoms fighting these things because, again, they kind of hypnotize you and you fall for their behavior and they take you over. So Venomverse is pretty much the Spider-Verse comics where they were all fighting the Moreland family, except now they're fighting these groups called Poisons and it's a group of Venoms. So you have Rocket Raccoon Venom, Captain America Venom, you have Spider-Man Venom before he gave him the symbiotes, you have a Doctor Strange Venom, you have an Old Man Logan Venom, you have a Ghost Rider Venom, you have Eddie Brock Venom, and there's just a ton of them. And they're fighting ones like, you know, a Hulk that's been poisoned and other other people, and yeah, they haven't really said much more up to this point other than that, other than told you why you're here and why we are fighting these things and what happens when we get taken. Don't know if there's a big bad behind it yet. Don't know what the turnout will be. Maybe there will be, you know, I don't know, Venomverse book where they go around being lethal protectors across the galaxy. I don't know. But, yeah, that's the Venomverse right now. It's interesting. It feels unnecessary. It's interesting. It gives Venom something to do, I guess, as Eddie Brock Venom has now reappeared.
Eddie Brock Venom was gone? I thought he was on the team, Guardian Galaxy team.
No, that was Flash Thompson.
Right, no, yeah, you're right. Okay, that was the cool Venom. That was, yes, the one with the arm that was like kind of more Captain American.
Yes. That was Flash Thompson, US agent Venom or whatever. But yeah, that was Flash. And then
I like that Flash.
They fixed his Venom because apparently his Venom was screwed up because he left, I don't know, the Venom homeworld too early or something. Yeah. Yada, yada, yada.
And he went to the homeworld.
And they got fixed. And then, I don't know, he got back to Earth and he started to go insane. I got Venom. And then it left Flash. And then it found some random mobster. And then the random mobster used it because it needed to bond with someone or die. And the random mobster used it and corrupted it. And then Venom did not like that. And then it ended up finding Eddie. And Eddie was an old host, and it just needed to survive.
Reunited, and it feels so good.
You know, not counting that, I think the last time we saw Eddie in a book, he also had the toxin symbiote for himself, which was a whole other thing.
Seriously?
Yeah, yeah, they had a whole Carnage miniseries, I think early this year, late last year, and they were, like, hunting down Carnage, who was, like,
and you
had the Darkhold book and was doing stuff, but, like, Eddie was there with the team, and he had the toxin symbiote. So they haven't explained where that went.
When did the other guy lose the toxin symbiote?
Yeah, I don't know. Comics, man.
There are a lot of symbiotes.
I think there's only about three now, probably.
There's Venom, Carnages, and Toxins.
Yeah, possibly Toxins, because I really don't know where it is now. Like I said, Eddie had it last, and now Eddie has Venom, so I really don't know where Toxin went.
I want to create a thing, a catalog of where everyone is and what they're doing. That's what I want to do. That's been my dream. I want
Wikipedia?
Like, well, no, not like, because Wikipedia isn't updated often enough. I want, like, it's not anything, like, about their biography or anything. If you want it, find it yourself. I literally just, like, Captain America, currently on this team, this team, this team. Currently is in another dimension fighting somebody.
Makes sense.
And he's in jail. Okay. And, like, just literally just so you know where everyone is.
Sounds like a good idea.
Yeah.
Sounds like a terrible amount of research, but sounds like a good idea.
You start with the big ones and you branch around.
Sounds like a good idea.
Yeah.
I think that's probably a good place to stop, because otherwise it was relatively a quiet 2 weeks. Nothing major and kind of crazy, super crazy happened, other than the Inhumans not doing well. And, you know, superhero shows haven't quite come back yet.
Mm-mm.
And no big movie announcements have been made, although Thor is, what, a month away? 2 months? 2 months.
So still excited.
I want to see Thor so bad. And actually, Spider-Man Homecoming is coming out on demand and DVD relatively soon.
Finally can watch it. Can't believe I waited. I was so stupid.
Yeah, it was good stuff. So it's coming out soon. And Wonder Woman just came out on DVD.
Watching that late tonight.
And that's about it. I can't think of much else. Other than South Park came back, and South Park is always funny. You know, they don't care, and they make fun of everybody. And they're terrible, but they're great. I think that's it.
Yeah, that's it.
See you guys next time, I guess.
Yeah.
Later.
Later.